This podcast is presented by Chicago Sports Nation. Chicago Sports Nation, enhancing your Chicago sports fan experience. Welcome to White Sox Nation Podcast, brought to you by Manscaped. Make sure you get that all new and improved Lawnmower 4.0 and use our code SHY. CHI, you'll get 20% off plus free shipping. Once again, that's our code SHY, CHI, 20% off plus free shipping. This is your host, Jack Thiel, on today's edition of White Sox Nation Podcast. So today we're going to talk about this past series with the Kansas City Royals, as well as the Cleveland Indians, talk about the trades the White Sox made. A couple of crosstown trades were made. Craig Kimbrell, Ryan Tepera, as well as Cesar Hernandez have joined the Chicago White Sox. We're going to talk about each addition the White Sox made at the deadline and kind of talk about how that's going to fit well with this year's team and, you know, what their status or future could mean for the White Sox. We're also going to be talking about how the White Sox look after all these trades and kind of compare them to all the other teams are going to have to probably play in the AL playoffs. And then, of course, look at next week's, or I should say this week's, series and give our picks, our analysts, and our bold predictions. So with that being said, let's kick it right into the action. The White Sox started off this week and against the Kansas City Royals. It's been a while since the White Sox played the Royals, but they started this week's series with them. It was a four-game set. On Monday, they lost 4-3. Jorge Soler, two home run game. And then on Tuesday night, the White Sox came back to win 5-3. Aloy Jimenez had a three-run go-ahead shot in the eighth inning. And then on Wednesday, the White Sox blew the game in the ninth. Salvador Perez had a home run off of Liam Hendricks, and the Royals would win in extras 3-2. And then on Thursday, the Royals would beat the White Sox 5-0. So the Royals taking 3-1 in that series, and the White Sox came back home to face against their second-place rivals, the Cleveland Indians. The White Sox took the first game on Friday night 6-4 behind some clutch offense, especially in the eighth inning from Jose Abreu and Tim Anderson. Also, Yoan Moncada had himself a home run that game. On Saturday, a 12-11 loss. The White Sox were up 6-1 in the fourth, then down 10-6, and then came back 12-8. And then in the bottom of the eighth, it was 12-11, but unfortunately, the White Sox would fall. And on the series finale on Sunday, August 1st, the first day of August, the White Sox won 2-1, a walk-off home run for Brian Goodwin. And the White Sox would take 2-1 from the Cleveland Indians and now extend their lead to 9 in the division. So the big story for the White Sox this week, trades. Maybe one more time. Trades. As the deadline approached this past week, we saw a lot of trades, not just with the White Sox. Probably the busiest deadline we've seen in the MLB. But with that being said, it was a trade-heavy weekend for the White Sox. First off, it's going to start off with Cesar Hernandez. The White Sox traded Connor Pillington, a left-handed pitcher, to the Cleveland Indians for Cesar Hernandez. Now you wonder why, you know, what's going to happen at second base? You know, Nick Madrigal out for the year, and you start to wonder, what is that going to mean for a guy like Cesar Hernandez? Because we'll talk about him more, Nick Madrigal not on the team anymore. But what I mean is second base was, you know, for the past, ever since Madrigal got hurt, it was Larry Garcia and Danny Mendick, which, you know, no offense to those guys, but those aren't really going to be your starting second baseman for a, you know, a World Series team. So they went cheap in terms of getting Cesar Hernandez, and that's not even a bad way to say going cheap. I mean, Cesar Hernandez has been a good player for the Cleveland Indians. This year he has 18 home runs, 47 RBIs. His average is at .237, probably where he doesn't want it to be. But, I mean, he's had himself a pretty decent year so far. His exit velocity is down, but the barrel percentage is way up from the past 2 years. So he's been hitting the ball a lot harder, you know, than we – and we know a lot about Cesar Hernandez as well. Like I said, he played with the Cleveland Indians, and, you know, this is a – he has an option as well. So it'll be curious to see if the White Sox try to bring him back for another year. I know Rick Hahn saying a lot of these deals, they don't want to be one and done. They wanted to be, you know, maybe another year, maybe 3 years. And with Cesar Hernandez, obviously he's a veteran guy that you can probably just trust. He was a Gold Glove as well in 2020 with the Cleveland Indians. He also had 20 doubles that year. He's been a guy who has been, you know, back and forth. You know, his average, his whole career has kind of been in that .270 range, and his on-base percentage has always been around the .350 range. So a guy who, you know, who has a good plate discipline shows that, hey, I might hit the ball as much, but I can get on base. He's been in the playoffs once, and that was this past year with the Cleveland Indians. He's, majority of his career, he has been with the Philadelphia Phillies, but he does have an option for $5 million. So interesting to see what the case will be there. I think the White Sox also really like his ability to be a switch hitter. So I feel like for the White Sox to have that in your back pocket, but also have a well veteran who has a good glove, especially for winning a Gold Glove, and a guy who's shown more pop in his bat this past year. I mean, 18 home runs, that's tops on the White Sox. 47 RBIs as well, and that's for a Cleveland team who, you know, the offense isn't that great. So to go to a team like a White Sox whose offense is great, you know, I'm excited to see what Cesar Hernandez can bring to this White Sox offense. The next trade was Ryan Tapera of the Chicago Cubs traded to the Chicago White Sox. So a crosstown trade, and the White Sox were able to acquire Tapera for Bailey Horn, another left-handed pitcher. Ryan Taparas had himself a pretty nice year with the Chicago Cubs. There was a lot of talk of Tapera and the White Sox, but you obviously don't know what's going to happen until it does happen. So the White Sox, you know, their bullpen has not been the greatest, so they figured, hey, we have to bring in reinforcements, bring in someone to maybe, you know, help the guys out a little more. And Ryan Tapera has been a strong piece for the Chicago Cubs so far. You know, in 44 innings, he has a .307 ERA. He has some of the best expected batting average, chase rate, and whiff percentage in the MLB. And one thing I think is, you know, pretty interesting about Tapera is that he features the slider the most. A slider, sinker, and fastball pitcher. He's been really good this year, and he's used that slider a lot more lately. And I think the most interesting thing about that is the slider has a batting average of .141 and has 35 strikeouts. So for Ryan Tapera, he's going to be a huge piece to this White Sox bullpen. Now, he has made a couple appearances with the White Sox. One went pretty good. One didn't go too well, but I think for Ryan Tapera, he's going to be a huge piece to this White Sox bullpen. I think the White Sox were really glad to really not get him for much. You know, I didn't really have to give up much from Ryan Tapera, and a guy like him out of the bullpen, I think we'll see how it goes. It's going to be very interesting just because he's a guy who has had his ups, he's had his downs. He's been on the good run lately. I mean, last year he showed some strengths with the Chicago Cubs, and no one really knew much about him. And then this year he kind of, I would say, continued it. Right now with a, you know, .291 ERA with the Cubs, coming now to the White Sox, he's kind of been a similar guy in terms of ERA around that maybe 3 high, low threes, middle threes. So, you know, for nothing, I mean, Bailey Horn is going to be an interesting guy to watch out for. He had a lot of potential, you know, scouted on him. So it'll be interesting to see how he plays out. But, you know, I'm glad the White Sox were able to get a guy like Ryan Tepera just because gives the bullpen help. You know, a bullpen who has had their ups, had its downs. It was supposed to be a bullpen who tops in the major leagues, and obviously that has not been the case this year. And then the final trade, this one, and I don't think anyone saw this one coming. The White Sox traded for Craig Kimbrel. They did get rid of Nick Madrigal and Cody Hoyer, but arguably who's been the best closer, best relief pitcher in baseball all of this year has come to the South Side. And Craig Kimbrel, who has an ERA about, I think, 0.56. I could be wrong. He's already made two appearances with the White Sox, and he's just looked filthy in those appearances. So Craig Kimbrel this year, and, you know, he's been good his whole career. He had that little layoff in terms of the money, the contract, and he was really bad. But now Craig Kimbrel is probably at the best he has been his whole career. All his offensive stats, or I should say pitching stats against offenses, are tops in the major leagues. He's at a career high, or I should say low or best, in barrels per balls. He only has two pitches. He has a fastball and a curveball. He basically says, here, hit it and see what you can do. And no one's really been able to hit him lately. His curveball has a batting average of 0.56, and his fastball is 1.33. He has been nasty. I mean, that's the only way you can really say it. He's been nasty. And, you know, I thought what was very interesting about Craig Kimbrel is that, you know, when he got traded, he had the interview, and he said, you know, when I was in Boston, Tony La Russa was in the front office, which he was. And he said, I won a World Series with the Red Sox. Now let's win one with the White Sox. And he's just been he's an eight-time All-Star, Rookie of the Year, obviously, 2018 World Series, like we just mentioned. He's only had one bad season, and it was really with the Cubs. Ever since then, he has just been a force. You go back to his early days on the Atlanta Braves. I mean, ERA under 250 saves a year. I mean, sometimes he'd be even in the MVP categories. I mean, in 2012 and 13, he was in the MVP. And Cy Young, of course, as well. But Craig Kimbrel has totally rejuvenated his career. And we are so... It did cost Nick Madrigal and Cody Hoyer at the end of the day, and obviously that sucks because Nick Madrigal, in my opinion, is a 300 hitter, and Cody Hoyer had a lot of potential. I think he did. I think he had a rough start to the year. You got to remember, some of these White Sox rookies haven't really pitched much in the major leagues. They were very successful, obviously, last year due to COVID season, but, you know, a lot of players have film on them now, and I feel like that's something we saw. You know, not just with Cody Hoyer, I think Matt Foster as well, a guy who has also struggled, these rookies, and Crochet, you know, he's had his troubles as well, but guys that, you know, they came up out of nowhere, rookies, and no one knew about them, but now everyone knows about them, they're getting film, and you can see that, you know, they're struggling a little bit, but, you know, it was obviously hard, I think, for Nick Madrigal, you know, as Rick Hahn, in the mind of Rick Hahn, you're obviously trying to win this year and the years of, you know, in the future. So when you look at Nick Madrigal, you know, he's not going to contribute to the team anymore this year because he's out for the year. And you have to wonder if he can stay healthy just because last year he was hurt with that shoulder. I believe he missed like 20 games maybe. And then this year he's out for the year. And so I think for Rick Hahn, you like a guy like Nick Madrigal. I was a big Nick Madrigal guy myself, really one of the few guys that really liked Nick Madrigal. But I think at the end of the day, you have to do what's best for the team. And unfortunately, Nick Madrigal wasn't in a position to contribute to the team this year. And we don't know what his future holds. You know, these are two injuries, you know, separated shoulder and, you know, an area where he had to get surgery. You know, that's never a good sign. So I think for Rick Hahn, he wanted to get the best value out before it was too late. And who knows, maybe Nick Madrigal becomes a silver slug, or, you know, the batting champ like Tim Anderson. Who knows, Cody Hoyer might be, you know, one of the best closers in the MLB in a couple of years. But I think for the White Sox, it's win now. And you have to make these types of trades if you want to win the World Series right now. You just got a Hall of Fame closer who's having the best season of his career for two guys that, you know, had questionable futures. And, you know, guys that Cody Hoyer was struggling this year, Nick Madrigal, you know, has the injury problem. So I feel like for Rick Hahn, it was more of a business decision saying, hey, I can get one of the best closers, you know, in the last 10 years, and I can get the best relief pitcher and pair him up with another top closer in the MLB. And that's what Rick Hahn did. So with that being said, we're going to go into our other subject. How are these players going to fit with the White Sox team? Obviously, we'll start with Cesar Hernandez. He is going to be the everyday starting second baseman going forward. There is no question about it. Really shouldn't be. You know, he might have an off day here and there, but that really should be about it. I don't think there should be any question about, hey, so-and-so should maybe fit in there for a couple of games. No, I think this is Cesar Hernandez's second base, and he's going to be there. I can't really see him, you know, not starting almost every other game. And now it's Ryan Tepera. I think Tepera fits in that role that we saw Cody Hoyer or Matt Foster go into this year. You know, maybe that seven-inning guy, possibly an eighth-inning guy that you might need. But I think Tepera is going to be like a Matt Foster, Cody Hoyer type of guy. Just comes in there, maybe the sixth inning, you need him to get out of a jam. Put him out there for the seventh. You know, maybe your bullpen was taxed for a little bit, so maybe you have him in the eighth inning. So I think for Tepera, I think we're going to see him all around. But I really could see him have the workload that, you know, Cody Hoyer and Matt Foster had, you know, this past year. And then it's interesting with Craig Kimbrell, because obviously if you count this year, he's been the better closer. But if you count the past 3 years, it's been Liam Hendricks. And Liam Hendricks is on a huge four-year contract. And I really don't think there's going to be I really do think it's going to be Liam Hendricks as the set closer. But what I kind of mean by this is, you know, who are the best guys to get the outs? You know, and it's also going to mean maybe Hendricks has two saves in a row and Craig Kimbrell didn't really get the pitch. Then Craig Kimbrell will get the next saves. But I really feel like in terms of these two guys, I think it's going to be, if it's like a 1-2-run game and you're going to go to your bullpen, I do expect Craig Kimbrell to pitch in that eighth inning and Liam Hendricks to come out for the ninth. I think that's just going to be the way it goes. You know, I think the signing to Liam Hendricks and, you know, how interesting the White Sox are with their money, I think you have to ride with Liam Hendricks as your closer. And, you know, that's nothing against Craig Kimbrell. I think, you know, maybe we see the roles flipped in a matchup or two. So, for my opinion, I think Craig Kimbrell will be an eighth inning guy. You know, like I said, he will have his moments as a closer for the White Sox. Don't get me wrong. But in terms of those two pitching in the same game, I think it's going to have to be, and it should be, Hendricks in the ninth and Kimbrell in the eighth. I think that's just got how it's going to be, how it should be. But anyways, I think both pitchers are just going to match up very well together. They're some of the most unhittable relievers that we have here in the MLB. So with that being said, we're going to go to our break by Manscaped and Anchor. And after that, we're going to talk about this week's game, including the Crosstown Classic. Stay tuned, everybody.
Breaking news. This is an important PSA brought to you by Manscaped.com. This is your public service announcement and the news you've all been waiting for. The Manscaped engineering team has confirmed that they have successfully created the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, which is now available for purchase in the U.S. and Canada. This new trimmer was just released only moments ago, and we are one of the first to get our hands on it and share the news. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code CHI, C-H-I, at manscaped.com. I'm one of the first people to try the new 4.0, and I'm blown away by the performance. The craftsmanship and details on the 4.0 are next level. Their advanced ceramic blade and skin-safe technology is so good that it almost seems like Manscaped worked with Elon Musk engineers to ensure your testes are as safe as possible. Now, what makes this trimmer different than all the other trimmers? It has a new multifunction on and off switch, which you can engage a travel lock, which is created for people who like to travel. The Lawnmower 4.0 gives you the ability to turn the 4000K LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. The new trimmer even allows you to customize your trim all over through additional guard lengths with sizes 1 through 4. And looks-wise, it's sleek with a two-tone matte and gloss finish, even features a hot foil-stamped black chrome Manscaped logo. Show that mower off loud and proud. The optimized Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer is waterproof so you can groom in the shower and not have to worry about making a mess on the bathroom floor. Did I mention wireless charging? The Lawnmower 4.0's new wireless charging system uses electromagnetic induction, which can help battery length last longer. If you're still trimming your face with your ball trimmer, it's time to make some changes. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code SHY, C-H-I, at manscaped.com. No person wants to end up with pubes in their mouth, and your balls will thank you. So you get 20% off and free shipping with the code SHY, C-H-I, at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com, and use the code SHY. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Back here at White Sox Nation Podcast, don't forget today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. Use our code SHY, you'll get 20% off plus free shipping and get that all new and approved Lawnmower 4.0. So the White Sox this week have a interesting week in store for them. So to start things off, they're going to have to face a off against the Kansas City Royals. That's going to be taking place at Guaranteed Rate Field. So we see the Royals once again. Hopefully we play a lot better than we did the last time we played them. So on Tuesday, as the White Sox have an off day on Monday, so it's a three-game set on Tuesday night. It's going to be for the White Sox, Dylan Cease, and for the Royals, Chris Bubik. On Wednesday, it will be Lucas Giolito for the White Sox and Carlos Hernandez for the Kansas City Royals. In the season series finale on Thursday night for these two teams will be Dallas Keuchel, the lefty, and Daniel Lynch, the lefty. And then the White Sox travel across town to face the Chicago Cubs in the Crosstown Classic, the first set of three between the two. So a Friday 1:20 game to start things off. For the White Sox, it'll be Carlos Rodon facing off against Kyle Hendricks. And then on Saturday, another 1:20 game. It's going to be for the White Sox, Lance Lynn, and for the Cubs, Albert Alize. Sorry, I kind of messed up on that name. And then on Sunday, to close out the series finale in the first set between these two teams, it's going to be Dylan Cease, the ex-Cub, or say in the Cub system, and Zach Davies for the Chicago Cubs. So a three-game set, six games overall this week. Now, I think you look at this, the White Sox overall, I mean, the team they are, especially with Luis Robert maybe on the rise, and Aloy Menez did miss this weekend, so maybe he comes back and plays, but with that being said, Luis could be on the return. Aloy is probably feeling a lot better after his little hamstring issue. Possibly the Sox go 6-0. I think if the Sox really should go 4-2 or 5-1. You know, obviously you want them to go 6-0. But, you know, the Royals are a team. They're not that good. And the White Sox should beat on them like they have been the last 2 years. And the Cubs are, they're down right now. And they really don't have anyone that would scare me. And that's why if you're the White Sox, you should just pummel the Cubs just because it's the Cubs. And these are games you need to win. These are the games, you know, teams you should beat are, the good teams beat the good teams, but the great teams also beat the bad teams. And people come at the White Sox record for that. You know, oh, they play so-and-so. But, you know, these are teams you have to beat if you want to make the playoffs. And that's what the White Sox, they have to do that. They just have to do that. So with that being said, let's go to our bold predictions brought to you by Manscaped. So our first bold predictions. Now, this is an if. If Luis Robert does come off the IL and return or comes back from AAA this week, I believe he hits a home run. Second bold prediction, I think Eloy has a two home run game this week. Third bold prediction, the White Sox starters in these six games combined for seven earned runs. I think the White Sox starting rotation might be, you know, feeling, I think we're really seeing the rise of Lucas Giolito, obviously Lance Lynn,
You know, Carlos Rodon didn't have his greatest start, so he's going to come out with a little pumped energy. So I think, you know, 7 unearned runs or below for the starters from these 6 games. The second to last bold prediction will be that Cesar Hernandez hits his first home run as a White Sox. A guy with a lot of pop, so I think we're going to see it pretty soon. And our last bold prediction here today is that we see a 4-hit game from a White Sox player. I don't know who, but I'm feeling maybe it's a little hit parade for the White Sox in one of these games. Who knows who it's going to be against, but I can see a 4-hit game for one of the White Sox players this week. Now, don't forget, you can also listen to the White Sox Nation podcast every Monday on all podcast platforms, including Apple Music and Spotify. Don't forget our code SHI, C-H-I, at Manscaped. You get 20% off plus free shipping. This is your host, Jack Thiel, signing off and saying, have a great day, everybody.